Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. Guess what? It's also a special mix of politics, culture, and personal development stuff, too, for underdogs out there. And as always, I appreciate you going on the journey, because we do this live every week on WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Quick disclaimer, especially if this is your first time, I hope it's not your first time, but if it is your first time tuning in, this ain't CNN. This ain't MSNBC. This definitely ain't Fox News. It ain't even Hot 97. It's not even the New York Times. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But they cover the news. They commentate about it. But here at the Gregory Neesmith Show, we get personal about it. And I appreciate you wanting to do that every week. And to take you on that journey, you have me, your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, content creator, writer, speaker, do a whole bunch of stuff. Also founder and CEO of Underdog Stuff Company. But when it's all said and done, I'm out here attempting to help talented underdogs that may have gone off track get their swagger back. And one of the places I love to do that is here on the Gregory Neesmith Show. All right, what are we going to talk about today? This is episode 71. We getting up there in age. 71. Couple things on my mind. $2 coffee is on my mind. Forgiveness is on my mind. And your favorite mom is on my mind. And today's show will have one question that we're going to pick at throughout the entire next 2 hours. And that is, are you ready to forgive Starbucks? Are you ready to forgive Kanye? And are you ready to forgive yourself? We'll touch on all three of those. But before we get into $2 coffee, I don't know if you heard, but Yeezy has been in the news lately. And if you don't know who Yeezy is, I'm talking about Kanye West. And here's a little background about what's been going on.
In a tweet storm on Wednesday, West expressed his admiration for the president, saying, "You don't have to agree with Trump, but the mob can't make me not love him," calling the president my brother, claiming he and Mr. Trump are both dragon energy. Even tweeting this photo of his own signed Make America Great Again hat.
That was a little background on the Kanye situation. You know, he's been tweeting about Trump, about making America great again. Been tweeting about blacks should be able to choose whoever they want to follow when it comes to politics. But that's a little background in that last audio clip about what Kanye had been tweeting. But this week, Kanye started talking. Interviews, TV appearances, and here's a little montage of some of what, if you haven't heard, well, you're about to hear some of the stuff that Kanye's been saying this week. Like I said, today we're talking bad coffee, forgiveness, and your favorite mom. And the question of today's show, are you ready to forgive Starbucks? And we'll get to that in a second. Are you ready to forgive Kanye? We're talking about that now. And are you ready to forgive yourself? Oh, we're going to get to that soon, too. Here's Kanye in his own words, being Kanye.
Well, it was really just my subconscious. It was a feeling I had, you know, like people were taught how to think. We're taught how to feel. We don't know how to think for ourselves. We don't know how to feel for ourselves. People say feel free, but they don't really want us to feel free. And I felt a freedom in, first of all, just doing something that everybody tells you not to do. I just love Trump. That's my boy. Like, you know, it's like so many rappers. You'll look at a video of Snoop Dogg loving Trump, but then he get in the office and now they don't love him. Like, Trump is one of rap's favorite people, no, right? I'm in hip hop, but I'm not just in hip hop. I'm a black person in a black community, but I'm not just that. I feel like one thing is people try to minimize me to artists, hip hop, black community. Yeah, I'm always going to represent that, but I also represent the world. When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. It's like we're mentally in prison. I like the word prison because slavery goes too direct to the idea of blacks. It's like slavery, Holocaust Jews, slavery is blacks. So prison is something that unites us as one race, blacks and whites being one race, that we're one, we're the human race.
And that's Kanye in his own words. You ready to forgive Kanye? He's out here just talking. Slavery was a choice. You buying that? I'm sure a lot of you underdogs have just had it up to here with some of the rhetoric, maybe even some of the attention that Kanye has been getting recently. And you're probably thinking, oh, people just think that he's off his rocker. Oh, people just think that, hey, it's just one person's opinion. We shouldn't put too much stock in Kanye, what he says. He can say what he says, but nobody's really buying that, are they? There can't be too many people pleased with very egregious statements like slavery was a choice. Nobody could be happy about that, right? Nobody. Well, as you might imagine, there's at least one person in America who is very pleased with Kanye. Thinks that Kanye is on to something. Thinks that Kanye must have some power. Kanye is the new leader of black thought. That's what this person probably thinks.
In America, unemployment has reached another all-time in history record low. In history. And by the way, Kanye West must have some power because you probably saw I doubled my African American poll numbers. We went from 11 to 22 in 1 week. Thank you, Kanye. Thank
you. Yeah. Kanye has at least one big fan, Donald Trump. I used to do marketing back in the day, and so I'm very up on polls and research and sample sizes and so forth. I need to find out what poll had a jump from 11% to 22% in terms of black favorability of Donald Trump in the past week. Who did that poll? I need to find out. If anyone who's listening knows who did that poll, is it a reputable one? Please let me know, because it just sounds a little fugazi to me. Shout out to all the folks following along on the Facebook Live at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith. I see Miss Lloyd in the building saying, what up? What up? Right back to you. Also, Miss Orion, hello there. And Heidi with some laughter. I'm assuming she may be laughing at some of the things that might have been said over these audio clips. And shout out to Darryl from the 215 who says, what do we have to forgive Kanye for? We established two things last week. One, Kanye's elevator doesn't go to the top floor. And two, everyone is entitled to his or her opinion. I listen to Kanye for entertainment purposes only. And to me, Daryl sounds like he is one who is not holding a grudge. He is one who doesn't have any vengeance towards Kanye. He has moved on. He has found empathy. He has found compassion. He's saying Kanye is Kanye. He's going to let it go and keep it moving. Are you ready to forgive Kanye yet? Have you even heard what Kanye's been saying? He's been saying this!
Well, it was really just my subconscious. It was a feeling I had. You know, like, people were taught how to think. We're taught how to feel. We don't know how to think for ourselves. We don't know how to feel for ourselves. People say feel free, but they don't really want us to feel free. And I felt a freedom in, first of all, just doing something that everybody tells you not to do. I just love Trump. That's my boy. Like, you know, it's like so many rappers. You'll look at a video of Snoop Dogg loving Trump, but then he get in the office and now they don't love him. Like, Trump is one of rap's favorite people, right?
Kanye loving Trump and slavery was a choice. And shout out to Heidi, who clarifies that her comment was that she thinks Donald Trump made that poll up in his head. I want to know, does someone know what poll that was? Because the poll exists. I just don't know if it's reputable. But the word on the street is that Kanye has now given black folks an opportunity to say something that they may have been keeping a secret. That they're down with the Donald. There were recent exit polls from the 2016 election that said 15% of black folks who made over $100,000 a year voted for Donald Trump. So maybe those 15% now are all the way up to 22%. I mean, you know, like I said, today's central question, are you ready to forgive Kanye? Are you ready to forgive Starbucks? And are you ready to forgive yourself? I don't want to spend too much time on Kanye. We talked about him pretty much all show last week. And let's be very clear about the slavery is a choice comment. It, for me, does what often happens to underdogs or oppressed groups or minority situations where the onus is squarely put on those who are oppressed. Now, if we want to get intellectual, if we want to get deep about it, yeah, are there choices in life? Well, yeah, I guess there was a choice to run and leave the plantation and potentially die or to stay. I mean, I guess there was a choice to try to ride out with Harriet Tubman or not. I guess there was a choice. But that puts the onus on the wrong people. How about there was a choice for America not to enslave black folks? How about there was a choice to not have segregation and Jim Crow? How about folks were doing the best they could to survive under choices they just should not have had to make? And I don't see anybody else out here always making the choice have to be on those who have been oppressed and put down and beaten and enslaved. Kanye's point loses all perspective for me because it's one-sided, it's simplistic, and it's coming from someone who's talking in 2018 and not in 1818. With that, there's been some chatter on the Facebook Live, and Miss Lloyd says, and I believe that's because Sheila says, I don't think Kanye wants forgiveness from us or anyone. Then Daryl replies back, I was never mad at Kanye. Daryl also says, I've never met anyone from the so-called 15%. Who are these people? And Daryl's referring to the fact that Kanye may have opened up an opportunity for black folks who, I guess, have chosen to look the other way to a political party, the Republicans, that have worked to reverse voting rights. The 15% that Daryl's referring to might be some of the black folks who are siding with Republicans who don't want to figure out this immigration situation. He's talking about the 15% who might have looked the other way when it comes to making sure that Americans have access to health care and health insurance. Daryl's referring to the 15% that I talked about earlier who might be black folks who feel like there's no need for affirmative action anymore. And the 15% that Daryl's referring to, that I refer to, might be the 15% of black folks who make over $100,000 a year who voted for Trump and voted for, I guess maybe they wanted some tax cuts or something. And I'm one of those people that I get it. Maybe you feel like the Democratic Party, especially if you're a black American, has taken advantage of you, has become complacent with you. And we live in a system where, unfortunately, we get to choose from what's available as opposed to choosing what we want. Because I think I know a lot of people who wouldn't choose Republican or Democrat. But yeah, there was 15% of black folks who make over $100,000 who voted for Donald Trump, according to exit polls. And Daryl says he doesn't know any of them. I'm not sure if I know any of them either, but maybe we do know some of them. And they just been keeping it to themselves. But maybe they feel like Kanye has given them a window to come out and say it. And for the record, let me just be very clear. The slavery is a choice thing was egregious. An oversimplification. And again, it puts the onus on the underdog and not on the oppressor. And I'm tired of folks making arguments and having their eye on what I believe is the wrong side of the situation. With that, we're going to go to the phone lines and see who wants to join the conversation. You can too out there at 212-650-6903. Name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Deborah.
Deborah from Manhattan. Deborah from Manhattan. I told you we would get to it.
Yeah, I was just wondering if, you know, like, maybe he has something on Kanye. Because I'm very serious. But, you know, I've observed, like, pictures of him. But they're still shot prior to, during Katrina, and after. And when you see him and he's, like, taking pictures, even with his family, he has dead eyes. He doesn't even look like he has life in his eyes. I mean, when he's angry, that's one thing. But he looks very different. But I remember hearing him on interviews the other day, and he was saying when he was in the elevator at the hospital, and he said nothing is more comforting than to have somebody that you know there with you. And then they removed these people or the person that was with him at the hospital. And he said it was the most frightening thing. I don't know what they may have injected him with. I'm just saying, allegedly. I don't know what they may have done to him.
Hey.
But he really has to, and he should be brought up. He should be made to answer to black people. Black people need to stop having these temper tantrums, and they need to have him. He always wants to perform. He loves to perform. So now that he likes to perform, he should have a forum where he answers black people.
Hey, I would love...
You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about a round table. I'm not talking about a lot of people that are sitting up there with him. I'm not talking about people that are screaming and yelling at him. I think he should be made to stand up and just say what he really means. And if you want dialogue with him, dialogue with him intelligently. Not all of this threatening stuff. See, because that's not going to help. That's not going to help at all.
No, it's a good point.
And the fact that this man feels so emboldened as to say, thank you, you know, the president. Thank you to Kanye. What is it that you know about Kanye? And, you know, whenever somebody says something or does something to this president, he's always telling people, I know, if you think I have this on this person and this on that person. What do you have on him? I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Hey,
it's just.
And Deborah, hold for a
second. It's not normal.
No, and hold for a second because I think
there's something really wrong.
Yep, and hold for one second, Deborah. A lot of people may not know what clip you're referring to about Donald Trump, so I want to play that because it was Donald Trump talking at an NRA event of all places, talking about Kanye and also about black unemployment. Let me play that clip, everybody. Hold for a second, Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
In America, unemployment has reached another all-time in history record low. In history. And by the way, Kanye West must have some power because you probably saw I doubled my African American poll numbers. We went from 11 to 22 in 1 week. Thank you, Kanye. Thank you.
And that was Donald Trump shouting out Kanye, who Deborah says maybe he's got something on him. You never know.
And not only that, this is a man who does not like anybody who's black and male. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, now Kanye is little Jesus. So what is it? You know, and Kanye should stop that because he better hope and pray that he has enough money. He better hope and pray that his wife stays with them because, you know, if these kids are ever walking the street without any kind of, backup,
yep.
You know, I would hate to see what some of Donald Trump's boys would want to do to those black children, especially the black girl.
Hey, and this is a president who we know has a history of discrimination lawsuits against him and his company.
Exactly.
We've heard him talk on the campaign trail. He's a man who said on air he didn't think a judge from Indiana, who was from Indiana, whose parents were of from Mexico, but the judge, a citizen of the United States, he said the judge couldn't do the job and do the case because of his race and ethnicity. And even other Republicans said it's textbook racist statement. And yet folks are still wondering, can they still question his affinity or love for black folks? I don't have to question. I got facts. I got real stuff. This isn't my emotion talking.
Right.
Hey, as always, right. I appreciate it. And Deborah, we're going to move on.
Take care.
You too, but we're going to talk a little Starbucks next.
Yeah.
Yes. Some black coffee I'm going to be avoiding from here on out.
Okay, bye.
Bye now, Deborah. Appreciate you. And that was Deborah from Manhattan. And it's time to talk about my city. I'm originally from the city of brotherly love. And there's been some situations with coffee, profiling, race, policing, and there's been a settlement in that whole Starbucks thing. And we're going to talk about, are you ready to forgive Starbucks? And how you feeling about the settlement? We'll have all the details and discussion about it. But before that, I just got to play this one clip because I want this Kanye back.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Where's that Kanye at? Anyway, let me take one more peek at the Facebook Live before we get into some bad coffee, some $2 coffee. Couple comments on the Facebook Live. Daryl says, so Trump supporters are still looking to see if it's okay to come out of the closet. That tells you all you need to know about the sitting president. Yeah, you know what they say, if you're afraid to say something out loud, afraid to let people know something, that means something's a little off. And there's a lot of folks who feel like they want to keep their Trump support to themselves, but not Kanye. And Daryl also says, let's sum Trump up this way. The Washington Post fact checker went down due to the excess amount of lies and false statements. End of discussion. Daryl is quoting the fact that the Washington Post does a fact checker. And I think they're saying that over the past year and a half or so of Donald Trump's presidency, I think there's like been thousands of recorded lies or false statements or things they would consider just not to be true. It's tough to have a president that you can't trust. And then Miss Lloyd says, in response to Daryl, I'm with you. You have to care to be mad. I just don't care for or about Kanye. I'm just like, boy, bye. And I ain't mad at that. We talked about some of the seven levels of energy, how we interact with Kanye and how we interact with life. And one of the choices is just be like, yo, I'm checked out. I'm done. I'm giving up. I'm out. I'm apathetic. I'm going to sit this one out and let him do his thing. I'm going to go out and do my thing. Hey, it's a natural reaction. It happens. I've been there too. Unfortunately, that reaction happens with other things that annoy us too. Like, I am mad at the 100 million or so folks who are eligible to vote who didn't vote in the last election. But I get it. They've checked out. They feel like no party represents them. So I'm not saying I condone it, but I do understand it. Sometimes we end up checking out. With that, who had coffee this morning to start that day? How many coffee drinkers out there? I think it's been reported about 60% of Americans, I believe, consume coffee either at home or when they're out and about. So we're a big coffee country. So we do drink coffee. It helps folks start their day. For some people, it gives them a jolt of energy. For some folks, it's their morning ritual to get centered and get ready to go. And for some people, it's a social thing. They have coffee after dinner or mid-afternoon, talking to a friend, hanging out with family. You know, coffee's big here. So big, so popular, that people will spend lots of money on coffee. I mean, at least more than $2 on it. $4, $5, $6. Large pumpkin spice lattes, mochiattos, and other stuff that I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, frappuccino. Well, one of the places people love to go get coffee is Starbucks. one of the places where two brothers went to go get coffee a few weeks ago. Those brothers were Rashawn Nelson and Dante Robinson, was Starbucks in the Rittenhouse Square area of Philadelphia. And they were doing what most people do, or a lot of people do when they go to Starbucks, and that's take a seat or use the bathroom or, you know, just chill out. Starbucks is like a meeting place. Folks hang out. But normally when you hang out there, you don't get arrested and then detained for 8 hours for sitting while black. And because that doesn't happen to a lot of people, and because, if nothing else, it's morally wrong, it also seems like something that would be an egregious step beyond the law, beyond the norms. And so you would think that something would probably happen to a manager who quickly calls the cops and racial profiles two of their customers. You would think something might happen to the six cops who couldn't figure out some community policing tactics, have a discussion and a dialogue with everybody, and figure out that nothing had happened, but instead arrested the two men and detained them for 2 hours. You would think that Starbucks would do something, or something would happen to them. Well, something did happen. There was a settlement in the whole Starbucks case. And we'll get to it. So just so you know, Starbucks says they have reached an agreement with Rashawn Nelson and Dante Robinson. And that settlement includes confidential financial settlement. It says the settlement would allow both sides to move forward and continue to talk and explore means of preventing similar occurrences at any Starbucks. Starbucks also offered the opportunity to these two men to complete their undergraduate degrees through the Starbucks College Achievement Plan. What's Starbucks saying about all this?
Word of another settlement involving the two gentlemen who were arrested in Philadelphia at a Starbucks last month, this time between Starbucks and Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson. The agreement includes continued listening and dialogue and also a financial settlement. We have a statement from CEO Kevin Johnson of Starbucks. He says, quote, I want to thank Dante and Rashawn for their willingness to reconcile. I welcome the opportunity to begin a relationship with them to share learnings and experiences. And Starbucks will continue to take actions that stem from this incident to repair and reaffirm our values and vision for the kind of company we want to be.
That's what Starbucks is saying about all this. And here's that's what Starbucks is saying. I said today's show there'd be a question we'd answer throughout the show, and it was around forgiveness. Are you ready to forgive Kanye? Are you ready to forgive Starbucks? Are you ready to forgive yourself? We're now on the portion of, are you ready to forgive Starbucks? Seems like Rashawn and Dante are.
Now, with the Starbucks settlement, I know that the financial aspects of it cannot be disclosed. Is there anything else about your agreement with Starbucks that you can share with us?
Well, the most important thing is the foundation, the fact that we have a seat at the table, you know, to work on, you know, reforms that be included in the racial bias training, you know, leading forward, and hopefully other companies take what's Starbucks putting into perspective and it'll follow.
We want to come in and have our voices heard with General Holder, and, you know, hopefully other corporations will follow suit that, you know, Starbucks is doing. And also, to answer your question, another thing that we can speak on with Starbucks is they give us the opportunity to take courses to complete our bachelor degrees. So we appreciate the opportunity also.
Well, so far, Starbucks is happy. So far, Rashawn and Dante seem happy. They get invited to the May 29th, implicit bias training that Starbucks is going to have. I believe they're closing down their stores nationwide for half a day, maybe, for their 170-something thousand employees. And Rashawn and Dante will be there. Invited. Get the college paid for. Got a private, confidential settlement that no one will know whether they got what they were worth, what they deserve, whether they got something that was underwhelming. We'll never know. It's kept secret. I don't like the invite list. Nothing against Dante and Rashawn. But they weren't the problem. They don't need implicit bias training. Someone tell me or holler at me when the six cops get invited to the May 29th Starbucks implicit bias training. Someone holler at me when the police commissioner, Rick Ross, gets invited. Someone holler at me when the mayor, Jim Kenney of Philadelphia, gets invited. Holler at me when Starbucks says, we can't do everything and solve everything around the world, but we're going to invite other competitors and coffee companies to do the same thing on that day, and they close down too. Nothing against Rashawn and Dante, but they weren't the problem. I don't need them invited to the May 29th implicit bias training hosted by Starbucks to their 175,000 employees. And oh, by the way, let me know if the invite list is going to include the manager, who's no longer the manager of that store, but I can't figure out whether she's been fired or not. She's just maybe just not the manager of that store, so maybe she's going to manage a different one. But maybe it's just me. Maybe at least the Starbucks deal sounds good to you. You know, it was rushed. Kept in secret. I'm not sure if they had experienced counsel around them or not. Maybe I'm just the only one. Dante and Rashawn seem ready to forgive Starbucks. Are you ready to forgive Starbucks? You think Starbucks paying for the remainder of their education, providing some mentorship from the CEO, and a confidential, you know, when we don't tell people stuff, it's hard to know whether things worked out well or not. If I never tell you how much money I make, you don't know whether I'm underpaid, overpaid. And guess what? I don't know if I'm overpaid or underpaid. See, we got a history as underdogs of keeping a lot of secrets. I just think that being secretive normally doesn't work out for us. And now, if there's other folks who've experienced what Dante and Rashawn have, they don't even know what they can or should or deserve or get because it's confidential. Maybe it's just me.
Still, you got to buy stuff when you go to a store. Okay.
Maybe it's just me. That's the Starbucks side of things. So they settled with Starbucks, but there was also another party involved, the city of Philadelphia. The six cops that thought it was okay to arrest two men for entering into a Starbucks and then detain them for 8 hours. So you want to hear what Dante and Rashawn got for being racially profiled, put in danger, and you know what can happen sometimes when you run into the police? It can end in dying. Being detained for 8 hours. Shoot, even if their settlement was based on how much money they make an hour, I'm sure it would have been more than what they got. And what they got from the city of Philadelphia is $2. $1 each. They each got $1 from the city of Philadelphia. And, wait for it, a $200,000 program for young entrepreneurs, I believe high school students in Philadelphia. It's going to be a pilot program that will be available for high school students that want to become entrepreneurs, and the city officials will work with Dante and Rashawn to develop the grant committee. Here's what Dante and Rashawn had to say about that.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's good to see all of you once again. When you were last here, you both said you wanted to make a difference. Are you pleased with how things are working out so far, Dante?
Yes, we are. We're here to focus on, you know, the foundation and the program to help young entrepreneurs, particularly high school students in the public school district of Philadelphia.
All right, that's, you know, cool. We got that rolling. And here's what the mayor had to say about it.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney said in outlining the agreement with the men's lawyer, quote, "I am pleased to have resolved the potential claims against the city in this productive manner." So this was an incident that evoked a lot of pain in our city and put us under a national spotlight for unwanted reasons.
All right. Everybody seems happy, right? Starbucks is happy. The mayor of Philadelphia is happy. Dante and Rashawn seem happy. I'm not happy. And it seems that I may not be alone.
The two black men arrested at Starbucks settle with Philadelphia for $2, all right? The brothers who were actually involved, they settled with Starbucks for $2 and apparently a promise that they're going to, you know, build an organization worth about $200,000 to help young entrepreneurs. Now, it doesn't say that there is anything set in stone in writing, all right? It just says pretty much, you know, a promise, all right? Obviously, you know what, this is very sad, and his brothers settled for $2, all right? Now, at first, when I first saw it, I thought that they settled with $200,000, all right? They will each be paid $1, all right? A measly $1 each. And, you know, that big of a deal, then, you know what, though, they should have said there, and you know what, they'll try to get some real money up out of them, and you know what, though, start their own little, you know, nonprofit organization, or, you know, start something to where they can help young entrepreneurs themselves.
That's what some folks are saying. Then we have some other underdogs in the building weighing in with their comments. Daryl says on the online comments, he says he's ready to forgive for two reasons. He's ready to forgive Starbucks. One, those two men were made whole. And in his opinion, two, secondly, the community will see a positive of the Starbucks poor judgment. And he also says, Daryl online says that settlements are usually confidential. That's not uncommon. Why I'm not happy is that I am someone who attempts to not put my judgment, put my wishes on other people. It's one of the things you do when you're consulting or when you're a coach. It's to support people getting what they want, to support people in closing the gap between where they are and where they want to go, and then being in support of helping them make that happen. So it's not what I want, it's what they want. And what Dante and Rashawn said weeks ago is what they wanted was to help other entrepreneurs. Not quite sure if they said specifically black entrepreneurs, but they said other entrepreneurs. Sounds like they wanted to help other Philadelphians. And so I'm not one of those folks saying, oh, I wish they would have got more money for themselves from the city. Cool. If your wish is to help people and help other young entrepreneurs and students in Philadelphia, which a city is about 41% black anyway, if that was your goal to help young entrepreneurs, then my commentary is that I think you just fell short. And so my critique is, I don't think you got what you wanted. It's been reported that the city of Philadelphia has an education operating budget of about $3 billion. $3 billion. For the 200,000 or so students in the city of Philadelphia public schools. $200,000. If pull out a calculator, underdogs. Put $200,000 and then divide it by $3 billion. And let me know if you can figure out what percentage that is. It's a small, 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 small percentage. So my thing is, if you want it to do something for youth and entrepreneurs in the city of Philadelphia, you have more leverage than that. historically, settlements for this type of stuff, I'm sure, more than $2 or $200,000 and $2. At least get the average of what the settlements have been in the past, which I'm sure is more than what they got. And then if you don't want any money, I'm cool with that. But you could have got more for those young entrepreneurs. Again, $3 billion operating budget for education in the city of Philadelphia. And they got a program that is my understanding that only lasts a year. It's a pilot. We don't even know if it's going to be around 2 years from now. And I heard a lot of stuff about saying this is a symbolic gesture. $2 symbolic. $200,000 symbolic. Symbolic of how we can reach peace. Again, I'm going to tie it back to the Kanye comment about slavery being a choice. Again, our eye is on what the oppressed has done as opposed to those who've been oppressing. And so we now have a society that wants to celebrate these two young men for being symbolic gestures of only $2 and getting programs that help the youth. Well, you know what would have been symbolic to me? A program that lasted for every year, for every hour they were in prison. You know what would have been symbolic for me? A grant program that's funded by the city and matched by Starbucks. And for every year that Starbucks has been open and for every year it's going to be open, that program lasts. That would have been symbolic to me. I'm tired of symbolism having to be at the expense of those who have been the ones being taken advantage of or hurt. Also, as a side note, somehow the police in this whole thing have seemed to be let off the hook. Starbucks had a settlement, which we'll never know what it was, but, you know, supposedly they had to do something. And the city kind of doing something underwhelming. I don't like it. But what are the cops doing? What's happening to them? You know, Starbucks still does have blame in this situation. But at the end of the day, it was the Philly police officers that arrested the two men and held them for 8 hours instead of taking the time to realize they had actually done nothing wrong. So what's going to happen to the police department, the police officers? What are they doing in this whole settlement? Especially when it's known that in the first half of 2017, 67% of police stops were of black pedestrians, while only 3% of the residents are black in the area where this whole thing went down. The city has Philadelphia, 1.5 million residents. 41% of them are black. You mean to tell me these police officers aren't equipped, trained, used to interacting with black folks? I would say that's not true. You know, instead of just blaming Starbucks for the situation, which they get blamed, don't get me wrong, I don't want to take that manager off the hook. But something needs to happen to the police department and figure out how we will prevent things like that happening from their perspective, because they have a responsibility in this too. Again, it's a bad deal, and I'm not being emotional about it. All right, I am being emotional about it. But there's some facts here. Starbucks gets to keep secrets about the settlement. Nothing's happening when it's related to policing and what they're going to be held accountable for. And the city has a $3 billion education budget, and they only got $200,000 that we don't even know if it gets to be re-upped. Underdogs out there, if you ever sit in a situation where you need to negotiate something, settle something, figure something out, don't be rushed. If you're inexperienced in being in these situations, get some experience around you. Make sure your team is known, that you surround yourself with, that has the same values that you have. And don't be so secretive about things.
You'd be surprised what sharing information with others will be, help you be more informed to make better decisions. And I'm also probably emotional about this too, because I know I've made some bad choices, some bad negotiations over the years because I've been rushed or inexperienced or kept things secretive. It doesn't work. I want to talk about negotiating because in a somewhat related way, what happened to Dante and Rashawn and Starbucks and settlements in the city comes down to something that actually you and I have to do in our everyday lives, which is negotiate deals and figure out what our work situation is going to be, or what contract on that project, or what our salary is going to be. And so I want to talk a little bit about negotiating and talk a little bit about maybe some tips. Maybe it could have helped Rashawn and Dante. It may be too late to help them, but we can help ourselves and be better negotiators. And we'll talk about some tips around negotiating. Hey, this is frustrating. Stuff keeps happening to us. There's an opportunity of leverage, an opportunity to forgive, yes. But that doesn't mean we forgive without there being consequences for folks. And maybe it's just me, but everybody seems happy, but I'm not happy. Dante and Rashawn are happy. Starbucks is happy. The mayor of Philadelphia is happy. The police commissioner is happy. Everybody's happy. Daryl says to me, Greg, what the police did, while not the best judgment, was not illegal. Technically, the police were in the scope of their job by conducting the arrest. Thankfully, the DA, Larry Krasner, did his job by not filing charges. The system worked from the perspective that they are not going away for a long time. That being said, the city recognizes that the gentleman went through an embarrassing situation. They are also choosing not to enrich themselves. If they are happy with the settlement, then it's a settled issue. I think it's time for us to hold the city accountable to make sure the program is a success. And I hear you, Daryl. And Daryl is also someone who's from the city of Philadelphia, just like I am. We grew up together. And like I said, one of the things I'm about is supporting people in getting what they want. And Dante and Rashawn said that they didn't want something for themselves. They wanted something for other people. And objectively, I would say getting a program that is only around $200,000 when the city has an education operating budget of around $3 billion, a program that is a pilot that may or may not exist 2 years from now, was not the best they could do. And so, yeah, it's not settled for me because I think that there was an opportunity for them to truly get more of what they wanted, which was to help young entrepreneurs in Philadelphia. And I think they got things on the shorter side of the stick than the longer side of things. Daryl also says that the manager was fired. That is good news if that is true. Like I said, today's topic also includes forgiveness, and it's okay to forgive people. I think it's good for us, right? There's peace of mind that comes with forgiveness. You can also live longer if you learn the practice of forgiveness. And we'll talk about some of the reasons why forgiveness is good for us in terms of our physical and mental health. But forgiveness doesn't mean it doesn't come with consequences for those who need to be forgiven. With that, let's talk about negotiating, because we may never be in a situation where we need to negotiate with a company like Starbucks or a city like the city of Philadelphia, but we do negotiate in our everyday lives when it comes to buying things or our places of employment and things like that. We do. And so let's talk a little bit about negotiating. Did you know that 46% of men negotiate their salaries after they get a job offer, and 30% of women negotiate their salaries after getting a job offer? That means, underdogs, that 54% of men and 70% of women, after getting a job offer, do not negotiate. Is that you? I know it's been me sometimes. Let that sink in for a second. You get a job, and there's all these things, benefits, maybe how many vacation days you get, what type of healthcare benefits, what your actual hourly rate or overall salary is going to be. And 54% of men and 70% of women reportedly didn't negotiate a thing. They got an offer and they were like, all right, thank you. That might have happened to Rashawn and Dante for all we know. They got an offer and they might have been 54% of men who get an offer and don't negotiate. Also, 39% of men are apprehensive about negotiating, and 55% of women are apprehensive about it. So if you're a little nervous about it, or if you're just one of those folks, you're just like, you feel uneasy about it, just know that it's natural to you. You're not alone. A little under half of men are apprehensive about it, and over half of women are. And this is based on some research done by Salary.com. But you know what we do here at the Gregory Neesmith Show. We're not just going to talk about the stats. I mean, it's okay to be acknowledged and know that you're not alone in being uncomfortable about negotiating. I'm sure Dante and Rashawn probably were too. But we're going to talk about some tips. And to make sure I just didn't make it one-sided and only tips I've learned, I wanted to get some tips from some other folks. And so I looked up 10 tips that help you win in every negotiation from a recent article in Forbes magazine. And I have a couple of those. I'll read a couple of the 10. And just something to keep in mind the next time you're in a situation. We may never have to negotiate with Starbucks in the city of Philadelphia, but we do have situations where we negotiate in our everyday lives. One tip, do your homework. Know everything about the situation you're negotiating. To use the Starbucks example, doing your homework would mean finding out historically what have been the settlements in these types of situations. What have been some of the requests that have been accepted? What have been some of the requests that have been declined? What's the normal timing of these situations? Do your homework. And in your personal life, try to Google what the hourly rate or salaries are for people who have similar jobs than you or live in your same area. Reach out to a friend who maybe used to work at the place where you're about to go get that job and got that offer. Number two, see the situation from all angles. Starbucks winning, city winning. Are you winning? Are the people that you wanted to help, those young entrepreneurs in Philadelphia, which is what Dante and Rashawn wanted, are they winning? Look at all the angles. Make sure you can anticipate what is a win for everybody involved, but also make sure that that includes you too. Clearly define your goals is another step. Determine the best timing for the discussion. Deborah, I think, said this last week related to the Starbucks thing. She said we should, as consumers and the two gentlemen involved in the situation, should wait a little while, take some time. You ever heard somebody say, hey, before you make that big decision or before you make that next offer, sleep on it? Because oftentimes time gives us perspective. I know I make better decisions when I'm not rushed. Determine the best timing of the discussion. Take your time. Don't get rushed. Remain calm and avoid getting emotional. It's always a good one. As they say, stick to your commitments, not your feelings. Sometimes feelings can get in the way. Ask for what you want. Seems simple, but sometimes, I know, it's just hard for me to say out loud, like, hey, I want more vacation time, or I want to be paid more money, or I want this. But what's the saying? A closed mouth doesn't get fed. And we don't get what we deserve. We often get what we negotiate. And another one of the 10 is find a creative solution. Find a solution that works where everybody wins. And underdogs, I know a lot of you out there, and I've also worked with some clients where they always tell me, that, oh, they care about everybody. They take care of everybody. They want to make sure everybody's okay. Everybody. And then I ask them how they're doing. And the client or the team will say, well, they don't feel appreciated, or they're overworked, or they don't feel so good. And so I tell them, guess what? Then you don't really care about everybody. Because if your self-care, if your wants and desires are not included in the solution, in the settlement, then you didn't take care of everybody. Because taking care of everybody includes you too. And those are just a few of the tips. If you want to get all of them, I'll attempt to put a link to this article in the podcast. And for those of you who miss any of the live show, which happens on Sunday, you're out and about, you got things to do, there's always a podcast, audio and video of the show on GregoryNeesmith.com. And you can check out any of today's show or any of the past shows that you may have missed. And real quick, I'll run through the top 10 tips on how to negotiate in a recent Forbes magazine article. 1, do your homework. 2, see the situation from all angles. 3, clearly define your goals. 4, determine the best timing for the discussion. 5, remain calm and avoid getting emotional. 6, listen, and listen some more. 7, ask for what you want. 8, avoid finger pointing. 9, find a creative solution. And number 10, remember there's always tomorrow. If the discussion gets out of hand in the moment, call timeout and reconvene when you're ready to go get what you're committed to getting, and don't let your feelings get in the way. With that, what are some of your ways that you handle when you got to negotiate? Because a lot of us ain't out here negotiating. And according to salary.com, 54% of men don't negotiate their salary once they get a job offer, and 70% of women don't. And it's my understanding these numbers are even larger when we talk about black folks or minorities, and then you can see the difference between men and women when it comes to negotiating. It's natural, right? We're all a little apprehensive about it, but I wanted to share some tips on how to maybe approach it differently, right? Because if we keep doing the same thing the same way, we're going to keep getting the same results. And I don't want that for you or for me, and I didn't want it for Rashawn and Dante Allen. All right. Some of you have forgiven Kanye already, some not. Some of you have forgiven Starbucks already, some not. But have you forgiven yourself? Forgiveness. Why do it? It's hard though, but why do it? Well, studies have shown that if we apply the act of forgiving to our everyday life, it actually has a lot of health benefits. Actually, practicing forgiveness could put years on your life. How about that? How about that being a reason to practice forgiveness? Now, that doesn't mean condoning things. It doesn't mean accepting wrong in the world. It doesn't mean that people don't get to be punished or you don't get to atone for the wrongs you've done. But it does mean letting go of the negative energy, letting go of the judgment. So you can move on. Now, I'm not just making this up about it's a good thing to do just because it's a good thing to do. I mean, it is a good thing to do, practice forgiveness, but it's also good for you. And it's good for your health across the board. Studies have shown that forgiveness is associated with health measures, including medications taken, sleep quality, and fatigue. The health benefits of forgiveness seem to come largely from its ability to reduce the negative effect of feeling tension, anger, depression, and fatigue. Making amends also helps you forgive yourself. Research has found that when you need forgiveness, making amends with the person you wronged can better help you forgive yourself. People who asked for forgiveness were found to be more likely to feel it was okay to forgive themselves. Making amends gives us permission to let go. Also, your heart loves it. Forgiveness has been shown to have effects on lowering blood pressure. A 2011 survey showed that certain patients who practiced genuine forgiveness had higher CD4 cell percentages and those are considered positive for the immune system, just in case you didn't know what CD4 cells were. I didn't know what they were either, but I'm glad that Megan, shout out to my producer, put a note in there saying what that is. It's good stuff. Forgiveness is a good thing. Now, with that said, though, how do you do it? Right? Like a lot of things, right? It sounds good. Earlier, we talked about negotiating. Oh, it's hard to do. That's natural. A lot of us don't do it. Cool. But then it's like, hey, there's some tips on like what you can do. And we shared some of those 10 tips that we got from a recent Forbes magazine article. And now we're going to talk about this idea of forgiveness. And cool, it has a lot of benefits. Forgiveness is good for you. Literally can help you live longer. But how do we do it? How do you go about it? Let me know, how do you practice forgiveness? I got a few ways that I have and or I've worked with other individuals or teams on how they do it. And I'll share those in a second. Just want to read a quick comment online. Daryl says, negotiations can only come if you are being recruited. If you came out the winner of a pool of 1,500 applicants, you are not in a position of strength. You have to get in established and do a good job where others want you. This is only applicable for an employment situation. I hear you, Daryl, but guess what? Even once you get into that situation, you do have, I would argue, some leverage. That shows how special you are, that you actually beat out all those other applicants and that they really want you. And that what's worked for you may not work for the other applicants. So you get to at least be in the habit of, the action of saying that you matter, that you are special, and that you want to see if there's a creative win-win. You're not trying to have them lose and you win. You still want them to have you and you be there. But hey, maybe the salary and total compensation arrangement doesn't work for you in the same way it worked for someone else. You get to have that discussion. And as we said, just because I do something doesn't mean that it guarantees a certain outcome, but having the practice and the mindset of working through what you want and finding what's best for everyone involved is a way of going from underdog to champ. And so I want people to be in the practice of figuring out what they want and what's best for all parties. Because oftentimes, everyone's first offer normally isn't even their best offer. And with the dialogue, we might find out something that works best for both parties that wasn't even on the table. So yeah, I hear you about the, if you're in a large pool, but if you made it out of that large pool, it means you're pretty special. And that's a cool thing. All right, some things I do to actually work on this thing called forgiveness. Now, I want to focus on things you can do literally by yourself. Because I don't know about you, but there's been situations where there's been, let's say, a bad romantic relationship, I would say. And maybe I no longer talk to the other person. They no longer talk to me. Maybe there's a loved one, a parent, or an aunt or uncle or a sibling that maybe they passed away, unfortunately. They're not even here. And you still got some stuff that you want to, or there's an opportunity for you to forgive them about. Or let's just say there's something you still haven't forgiven yourself about. So what I want to focus on are, these are a couple of things that I've done or I've worked with other folks when doing coaching with folks that you can do that it doesn't even involve you having to go reach out to the other person if there's another person involved. And obviously these things can work if it's only just something between you and yourself. One of them, write down all the things that you forgive yourself for. Literally, there's something about getting out a piece of paper and writing, I forgive myself for not finishing school. I forgive myself for smoking. I forgive myself. And this idea of like starting to like actually write it down, say it out loud to yourself, and actually declare that it's okay to move on and let go of it. There's something magical about it. Now, some people do take other steps, like write down all the things they forgive themselves for on a piece of paper, ball it all up, and then literally throw it at the wall, or throw it across the room, literally or metaphorically representing that it's been acknowledged, forgiven, and thrown out and let go. That's one. That one really has worked for me in the past. The fun part is like when I ball up the piece of paper and then I throw it across the room, like representing that I'm letting it go. Another one, and this one I've done related to romance. I'll never forget my first like adult love was in my mid-20s, and I had a relationship with this woman off and on for like 6, 7, 8 years, like a long time, 20s into like my early 30s. And we no longer talk anymore. And recently, about a few years ago, I went to this workshop where the coaches said, you're going to write a love letter and you're going to address it to the person and you're going to write all the things you've been wanting to say, write it from a place of love, a place from a personal responsibility, what you learn, what you're letting go of, sign it, put it in an envelope, address it, and then don't send it. And I did that, and it was magical. Like, I actually wrote the letter, and I was talking about how, hey, you know, when I met you, I was young. I didn't know what I wanted. I forgive myself for, like, not communicating more, but I've learned so much since that time. And, you know, a lot of things, like, really taking responsibility for, like, the situation and not putting the blame on her, but, like, just saying, hey, this is how I was feeling, and this is what I felt about myself, and like I've grown and matured now, and like I'm so glad we've been able to move on and live our lives, and like address it to them and write the letter. And then at the session there was a box where you could like deposit the letter and metaphorically like send it to them. And again, it worked magic for me, something that had kind of been on my mind for years. And after I did that and wrote that letter, it was like all good, gone, cool, chilling. So I recommend that as a practice, to write a letter to someone from a place of love, from a place of personal responsibility, things you've learned, address it to them, and then send it off, but don't actually send it to them. And it really releases things. I've seen that work. Then also, given that we're about to do a quick thing about Mother's Day coming up, and sometimes we have stuff about our parents built up inside, and we blame them for a lot of things. Mad at them. One, they were doing the best they can, but we were mad at them. I know at times I was mad at my parents for a lot of things. But one of the things you can do, and I've seen this work, is get out a list and write a list of all the great qualities that you have that you got from your parents. Write them down, appreciate it, celebrate it. Like, oh, I got my resilience from my parents, or I got my my great smile from my parents. Things you got from your parents. And then any of the qualities that still don't work that you have today as an adult, they're on you now. You're an adult. You get to take responsibility for them. You get to figure out how to better yourself. You get to get support through therapy, through coaching, things like that. But give the credit to your parents for all the good stuff that they did, because they were doing the best they can. And then anything else that's not working, you get to go work on it. And again, it was from a place of like forgiving them for doing the best they could. And then I get to own that I get to figure this out from here on out. And those are just a couple ways that I have seen myself and others practice forgiveness. So you can write down all the things you forgive yourself for, and then literally ball up the piece of paper and throw it across the room, metaphorically letting go. You can write a letter to a loved one, but actually not send it to them, but metaphorically actually send it off in the mail. And then also, you can write down the list of qualities that you got from your parents that you love, and anything else that's not working, you can take responsibility for and get support to help those things. With that, I think we might have a caller on the line, and then we're going to end the show with quickly just some of our favorite TV moms. Going to the phone lines. Name where you're calling from.
Hey, Greg.
Yes. Hey, Barry.
When you mentioned about your relationship and you know writing a letter, a lot of times as males, you know, sometimes we do hold and our emotions about, you know, relating with women. And I think I found out one way to cleanse my soul, and I've been in several relationships like that, is to express how I feel about the woman to her. You know, let her. Sometimes it's good to let her know that I'm overwhelmed of something about her that just does something to me beyond words. Mm. And relay that to her, and some artistic ways, some creative ways, And then as hindsight, you reflect on relationships like you're doing right now, 5, 10 years later on, you say, you know what? I gave it all I had, man. And it was a beautiful experience to have that feeling. This is what I'm keying in on. It's such a beautiful feeling to have that alive feeling for another person. And it can be extended also to the parent, because as we get older, you know, we might get into some kind of rivalries with our parents because of certain religions or this, that, and the other the case. And so you might spend 5 years not talking. But at the same time, doing this Mother's Day scenario, sometimes it's not so much about me. It's about her. And it's about, like you said, letting go some of these here anxiety feelings of, you know, it might be this way, it might be these question marks. Let it go and be the bigger person about it, because it will pay off up the road. It's hard charging, it may sound, may feel like I'm holding this emotional bag. Why do I got to be the adult about this? In the long run, brother, man, it really pays off in the long run.
So a couple things, Barry. You mentioned expressing ourselves, and I think while this show is for everybody, men and women, I think as you a man and me a man, it is true that sometimes we keep things to ourselves. And I think you make a good point about, like, really just being vulnerable and being open and letting a woman know, and to your point, it could be a parent know, or letting someone know how you really feel. What do you think that does for the other person when you are in that situation? You, like, just lay it out on the line there, and you're actually being expressive.
Well, it depends. It can be a range of things, or it can be very appreciating, like, wow, you gave me my flowers before I'm gone. What it does is it's really about freeing the energy.
Yep.
Because the energy doesn't come from us, the energy comes through us. So you free the energies to leave room for other energies, to come through.
And
then by the time a person comes through their certain levels of stage of growth and development, they can reflect on it and see how they can put these here energies in juxtapositions in their life to make it work and benefit for them through other travels and journeys and challenges in their life.
Yep, and I have a question for you, but I want to make one quick comment about what you just said. Is you said energy, and so you made me think of a great example that if you and I are friends, right? So, and let's say there's something feels odd between us, like you can feel some tension in the room.
Right.
To your point, the energy's there. Like, we know that there's something there, but we don't know what it is. And so unless I open up and tell you what it is, then you might make up your own story about it. So this whole idea of, like, people think when they're keeping stuff to themselves, like they're keeping stuff to themselves, they're not. People can feel when something's joyful. People can feel when something's a little off. And what they don't know is that they don't know exactly what it is. So we get to express to them where that energy or that emotion is coming from, also so that they know what's up.
Yeah.
So they don't have to make it up for themselves.
I think that's what's important, because, like you said, a person can have a range of ideas of what's really going on with this person. You know, like they say, so they may say, okay, it might be this, it might be that. And so here it is, they might be responding to ipso facto. But when you hone in it and give them actual, lay it out, or really actually, you know, let them know, you know, where it's coming from with you, then at least they can see, oh, well, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was this. I thought it was that. I thought it was some childhood thing. I thought it was somebody said about me. You know, so you got a lot of spooky stuff going on. So it's a matter of choice of whether you want to keep the ball rolling, keep the mystery going on, keep all this. You know,
that's a lot of tension.
So that's just a power.
It's a lot of tension.
Having their spouse or their loved one guessing.
That's stressful, you know? Too. So I have a question for you before we get out of here. I'm about to say this for the first time, so people don't know this, but I won't be here next week. I'm going to South Carolina to visit my parents, because it's Mother's Day, and also my dad's birthday is on May 13th, which is Mother's Day this year. And so my question for you is, do you have any moms to shout out as we, you know, head into Mother's Day week here?
Oh, yes. And that's really what I'm saying, is because I just want to hug my mother.
And now I do have to, like, go, because as you know, we about to close
right
the show.
On, brother.
But hey,
thank you for extending my time.
Hey, it's all,
give your mother a hug for all of us.
It's all good. And what's your mom's name so I can shout her out?
Gloria.
All right, shout out to Gloria, who raised a wonderful son in Barry, and happy Mother's Day to you, Gloria. All right, now, Barry, talk to you in 2 weeks.
Vibrations in the atmosphere, my brother. Solid gold.
All right, now, take care. And that was Barry calling in, talking about forgiveness, and also shouting out his mom. Shout out to Ms. Gloria, Barry's mom. And shout out to all the mothers out there. Man, the show is about to come to a close. We didn't even get to favorite TV moms. I was going to talk about the mom from Family Matters, from Blackish, from Modern Family, from Sister Sister. So shout out to all of them, and shout out to your favorite TV mom too. But more importantly, shout out to your real mom, whether she is by blood or by action or both. Shout out to all the moms. I also want to give a shout out to my biological mom. I was, as most of you know, in foster care and then adopted. And a few years ago, I was able to go search for and find my biological mom. And grateful that she brought me into this world, and grateful to now have a relationship with her. They say a lot of life is nurture and nature. And so I know some of myself is from the nature of Aisa, and also my biological dad, Gregory. And then, of course, shout out to my mom, Hallie Neesmith. She's my mom. She's my angel. We met 40 years ago. And I'm so glad it was love at first sight. And grateful that, you know, no matter who I meet, whether it's my biological mom or any other person in the world, her love and her actions, she's my mom and I love her. And I'm looking forward to seeing her on Mother's Day. And also, Mother's Day happens to be my dad's birthday this year on May 13th. So shout out to Henry and Hallie Neesmith. And shout out to all the moms out there who we get to remember. They've always been doing the best they can to raise us and to love us. And if there is any tension, which is understandable, it happens sometimes, we get to forgive them and let that go. And celebrate them for doing the best they can. Love you, Mom. And love all the moms out there. Thank you for going along on the ride on the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to all the talented underdogs who listened, commented, and called. Shout out to the team, producer Megan, editor Kayla. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen to the podcast of it on www.gregoryneesmith.com. Go to gregoryneesmith.com and you can see all past shows, audio and video. And as always, I'll leave you with my favorite quote. And if you've listened to the show before, you know what my favorite quote is. It's underdogs. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.